Radio Live. Entertaining talk and news as it happens.
Fonterra's in fresh milk trouble. The mystery of a critically injured man who's turned up at Christchurch Hospital. And in sport, fifth time lucky for Kiwi sailors. It's 9 o'clock. Good morning, I'm David Burke-Kennedy. Fonterra, which is already under pressure over a global botulism scare, faces fresh trouble in Sri Lanka. It's been ordered to recall two batches of milk powder because of claims it contains traces of farm fertiliser chemical DCD. A New Zealand government website says DCD isn't toxic and poses no food safety risk, but Sri Lanka disputes that. Fonterra brands are the market leader in Sri Lanka, accounting for nearly two-thirds of imports. A man's in critical condition in hospital after an early morning incident in Christchurch. Zachary Kerr reports.
Police got the call around 4 o'clock this morning to say that a man had arrived at Christchurch Hospital's A&E with critical injuries. Few details are being released about the incident, but it's thought it may have occurred on Harper Avenue. And the westbound lane's now being cordoned off to preserve evidence while investigators comb the scene. Any witnesses are being asked to contact Christchurch Police or the Crime Stoppers hotline. Zachary Kerr, Radio Live News.
The Prime Minister's hinting he'll announce a major housing policy today. Hundreds of party faithful are gathered at National's annual conference in Nelson this weekend. And housing is on the radar for John Key when he addresses the crowd later this morning.
If you speculate that housing might form part of my speech, it'd probably be a reasonable guess.
The government's already unveiled more reforms to the Resource Management Act, which aim to cut the time and cost of the consent process. But Labor believes National's on the back foot when it comes to housing. Leader David Shearer believes it's running to catch up with his party's policies.
The type of policies they're coming out with, fiddling around with the RMA, is not going to make a difference. And they realise that the only thing that's going to make a difference is building more affordable houses and clamping down on speculation.
Meantime, Peter Goodfellow has been re-elected as National Party President. He's been on the National Party board since 2006 and is a director of two finance companies. The designer of a flag which includes the Silver Fern, Southern Cross and Union Jack colours wants new debate over our nation's flag. The call comes after the Prime Minister admitted he'd like to see the flag changed to one with a silver fern on it. Silver Fern flag campaigner Kyle Lockwood says while there are people out there who prefer the Union Jack-style flag, he thinks it's time it was updated.
I think the flag that I designed sort of takes elements from the present flag and also elements from the Silver Fern flag and combines it quite well.
But John Key says it's not a current priority for the government and would need a nationwide referendum. A gang that smuggled Chinese citizens into the US and Europe has been busted with 75 arrests in Spain and France. The trafficking ring was based in China, but its two suspected leaders in Europe were arrested in the Spanish city of Barcelona. The smugglers took paying Chinese citizens to the US, Spain, France, Greece, Italy, Britain, Ireland and Turkey. Police in Sydney have charged a man with the murder of his partner at a McDonald's in the city's southwest. Officers found the pair inside the toilets of the Gregory Hills restaurant, and the 30-year-old woman was rushed to hospital but died from her injuries. A 38-year-old man's due in court later today. It's 9:03.
Radio Live News with Kelly Executive, your executive contracting and recruitment specialist. Visit kellyexecutive.co.nz.
In Radio Live Sport, a year after winning Olympic gold, Kiwi sailors Joe Alley and Polly Powery have been crowned 470 world champions. The pair have won the medal race in a 52-strong field in France, where Powery believes her and Alley have been a class above.
We had about 6 to 8 months off probably after the Olympics, so we sort of feel like we're probably a little bit rusty. So, yeah, we're really stoked with how well we've gone this season.
Kiwi men Paul Snow Hansen and Dan Wilcox have finished seventh in the men's championship. It's been Australia's day on day two of the fourth Ashes test against England and in particular Chris Rogers. The openers made a maiden test century as the tourists reached 222 for five at stumps after bowling England out for 238. The tourists trail by 16 runs. The Knights have kept their NRL season alive with a late try to snatch an 18-14 win over the Sharks. Coach Wayne Bennett's glad to see a fitting result for Danny Boudaris, who played his 250th game.
Yeah, well, I've got no doubt the boys played for Danny tonight. I've got no doubt about that. Didn't want to let him down, and they didn't.
Rooster star Boyd Cordner could miss 6 weeks with an ankle injury suffered in the 28-22 win over the Raiders. That's League with Pit Stop for all your brake, warrant of fitness, and car servicing needs. Kiwi Brent Nudix moved up to 19th after a personal best high jump of 2.02 metres after four events in the men's decathlon at the World Athletics Champs in Moscow. Nudix had the equal 11th best jump to move up three spots, 359 behind leader American Gunnar Nixon. Compatriot Mary Davies has battled to finish the marathon, the 30-year-old crossing the line in almost 3 hours, 22 minutes outside her personal best. I'm David Burke-Kennedy. It's 9:05.
Here's great news if you're in the market for a new kitchen. Kitchen Studio are offering 10% off the price of your cabinets when you purchase any kitchen during August. With savings like that, you'll be able to fill your cabinets with even more goodies. Plus, Kitchen Studio make it easy with no interest or repayments for 12 months. So what are you waiting for? Visit your local Kitchen Studio showroom. The locations are online at kitchenstudio.co.nz or phone 0800 177 177. T's and C's apply.
The original wet-and-forget rapid application. It's safe and it's fast. Just connect your hose to the combination sprayer and concentrate and go. Join our long list of happy customers who don't waste their weekend. They work smarter, not harder, with wet-and-forget rapid application. 10 times faster than your garden sprayer. Deal to that moss-moulding gunge. 38 Apollo Drive, Maringi Bay, 72 Lun Ave, Mount Wellington, 164 Manukau Road, Pukekohe, wetandforget.co.nz or phone 0800 30 3000.
Filtration at its finest, that's FilterCorp.
We're a general food and baked bread. There's an environmental problem from machinery, food contaminants, dust and dirt. FilterCorp filtration covers everything from cabinet filters, bag filters, dust collectors and cartridges. All food grade quality. Yeah, I'd recommend FilterCorp, a one-stop shop. Past 10 years, the only one we've used.
Phone the FilterCorp line, 0800 481 9999.
Radio Live Weather with Ride to Conquer Cancer. Register today at conquercancer.org.nz.
From Met Service to you until midnight tonight. Firstly, the heavy raining warning that was in force for Gisborne has been lifted. So for Northland, Auckland, Coromandel and Waikato, expect showers, some heavy with hail, possibly thunderstorms from this evening. Southwest gales this afternoon. Bay of Plenty, a few showers. Gisborne to Wairarapa, rain with heavy falls easing to showers in Gisborne this morning. Waitomo to Wellington and the central North Island High Country, also Nelson and Marlborough, expect occasional rain. Buller and northern Westland, cloud increasing, occasional rain this afternoon, and occasional rain in southern Westland and Fiordland. Canterbury and eastern Otago will have patchy drizzle, low cloud, turning to occasional rain this afternoon, and the remainder of Otago and also Southland, scattered rain. Finally, the Chatham Islands, rain and southeasterlies. It is 9:07 on Radio Live.
It's Sunday morning with Wallace Chapman.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Mornings with me, Wallace Chapman. Well, the fame, the controversies, the successes, the failures, Paul Henry, welcome to the soundtrack to your life. How are you?
I'm very well, Wallace. It's great to be here. And the soundtrack to my life is the clinking of wine glasses, a nice red wine.
Hey, it's great to be here with you this morning. It's and I've got to say, what a life. What a beautiful life. And what a place you have in Albany here, Mock Tudor. In a way.
Yes, I'm almost, people say Mock Tudor, and it has to be Mock Tudor because, of course, it wasn't built in the Tudor period. So I think even if it was a tent built in the Tudor period, it would be a Tudor tent, but anything not built in the Tudor period that pretends to be Tudor must be Mock.
Is that painting behind us, it's a painting of you, and it's signed by Picasso. Is that a real Picasso?
It's not signed by Picasso. If you have a look again at the signature, it says Picasso. And that painting was painted by a penis, by a man's penis, obviously not a woman's penis. So yes, the artist, he's very famous worldwide.
That was not painted by a penis. That's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary, isn't it, on many levels.
I want to talk about, I mean, this is an extraordinary place, drinking wine here in this one of the most beautiful houses I've seen. But growing up in a council flat in the UK, you've come a long way.
Yeah.
With Olive, your mum?
Yeah, with Olive. She hasn't come this far. She's in a home for the bewildered in Meadowbank. That's where I keep her. No, she's wonderful, though. Just absolutely wonderful. You know, she's now planning a cruise. She wants to go on a cruise. She's found a 90-year-old woman that lives in a cell block just down the corridor from her. And they're going to see if they can go on a cruise together. Gosh, she can barely walk. But we'll manage it. We'll fork out for it. But no, it's a huge... funnily enough, I always imagined when I was young that I was a distant relative of the royal family. I had no reason to assume that, but I'm still not entirely prepared to say I'm not. I knew that I would achieve something. I knew I had to, actually, because I had to get out of the shite that I was living in.
Well, I'm just thinking, is the poor Henry of that council flat, the young Paul Henry Grover, could he have imagined himself in the situation you are now?
No. I mean, to a degree, that's partially because you can't imagine this sort of world when you're locked in that horrible life. And it was a horrible life. I mean, it was an awful, awful council flat. I've been back subsequently and even surprised myself how awful it was when I went back. And like the walk to school in ill-fitting, worn-out shoes, you know, in the middle of winter, long walk to get to a school where you're just teased all the time, no money, no, my mother working treble shifts. I mean, it sounds like I'm laying it on really thick, but actually I'm probably... backtracking on it quite a bit because the real truth is just completely unbelievable.
What do you mean teased all the time? You weren't teased at school, were you?
Oh, mercilessly teased.
Were you?
Mm. Well, I looked different. I sounded different because I had a New Zealand accent. So I sounded different. I looked different. And clearly I was, and I behaved differently as well because quite frankly, I felt I was above them all.
That teasing, did that translate later on in life, do you think? Do you think that moulded you, Paul, into the media star that you became?
No, not really, because I always knew, and I have no idea why I always knew this, but I always knew that those people were dust under my chariot wheels. I knew that this was just something I had to go through to achieve what I wanted to achieve. I wasn't actually trying to prove anything to anyone, with the possible exception of trying to prove something to myself, but I'm not even sure about that. I just wanted to have a nice life and could not see why I shouldn't be able to.
Hey, one interesting thing, because you you worked as a projectionist for a while. I read a fascinating story about you showing David Attenborough the rushes.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Oh, so it was fantastic. Is this the story where they were all spooling off the bloody projector? It's a long story. I haven't got time for the whole story, but it was horror because I admired him. I mean, he was huge, you know. I had managed to get a job far in excess of my ability or stature in life, and was doing it very well because, of course, I never appreciated it at the time. It was still beneath me as far as I was concerned. And I would operate, I had my own projection studio at the British Broadcasting Corporation in Bristol. And it consisted of a large viewing room and a projection booth on both sides. On one side, there was two 16mm projectors, very modern, which had three different kinds of sound system. I think I can still remember them, Comopt, Commag and Setmag. Setmag was the absolute bloody nightmare, bane of my life. And then on the other side, I had a really flash, you know, 16mm projector and a 36 or something like that, a really old one with an arc light. Hmm. And I used to show the rushes to David Attenborough and many other people. But the one story was the story where this very valuable historic film, which was still on celluloid and was potentially dripping nitroglycerin, which is what they do, you know, in the great big storage units, they'll drip nitroglycerin. You've got to be so careful with them. I put it on the projector, and anyway, cut a long story short, he was watching it fine, but so the last person to view it had put markers in, and it was spooling. This hugely valuable film was spooling all around my feet, and at the end he watched it. I couldn't get to the door to shake his hand because I couldn't walk out without traipsing on kilometers of valuable film, which I thought I could wind up. Oh, it was very funny. In the end, he came to say thank you to me, and he opened the projection door, and all this bloody stuff spooled out around his feet. And I was just standing there. He was going to say job well done, but he chose to say nothing at all.
David Attenborough. Now, the first track here, Willie Nelson, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Why did you choose this one, Paul?
One, it's a beautiful song. Two, Willie Nelson, who has had a very suspect career and is a suspect individual, I suspect, nonetheless has a voice which is perfect for the pathos of that song. But this is the first song because it's the first movie I ever saw. My mother took me from Howick, where we lived, on the bus to Auckland. We watched it in the Civic Theatre, which is theatre in itself, you know, the lions with the flashing eyes and the amazing ceiling and things like that. And I sat down, having never seen a film before, and watched The Wizard of Oz. You imagine that being the first movie you've ever seen, the first movie ever in colour. And just that sort of won me over